My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
If you love beauty as much as I do, you're going to be obsessed with Curator's latest launch, the Gold Curation. These limited edition boxes are perfect for those who want to treat themselves to a little extra indulgence. I curated the first edition with Ultra Luxe beauty products that will pamper you from head to toe, literally. The Gold Curation is valued at over $800, but I'm offering it to you for only $250. They're so close to selling out, so hurry and get yours by heading to curator.com/goldcuration. That's curator.com/goldcuration. Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel Zoe, and you're listening to Climbing in Heels. This show is all about celebrating the most extraordinary superwomen who will be sharing their most incredible journeys to the top, all while staying glamorous. Today with me, we have the incredible, beyond impressive founder of Love Shack Fancy, I'm sure you've heard of it, the powerhouse that is Rebecca Hessel-Cohen. Rebecca is a born and raised, true and true New Yorker, and was really surrounded by fashion her entire life. She started her career as a fashion editor in New York and was inspired to start her brand Love Shack Fancy after she designed bridesmaids' dresses for her wedding. She is truly one of the most incredible fashion entrepreneurs, and I'm so excited for you to all listen to this episode. I could talk to her for hours, and I think what really comes through is her passion for her brand, for her customer, and really her dedication to her work and really seeing it be the success that it is. Climbing in heels, you know, it's funny because it does literally pertain to you.
Yeah,
but
I
many
love it.
Of the
I'm
women...
like, it's my favorite name ever. Climbing in heels. I'm always, are you always in heels?
Always.
Too?
Always. But 90% of the women I've had on here do not wear heels. And they're like, but Rachel, does it matter if I don't wear heels?
No.
And I'm like, no, it's very tongue in cheek because it's really about the journey to get to the top, all while embracing the sort of best things about being a woman. Right.
Yeah.
And for you, you know, it's funny because we've become friendly more recently through mutual friends,
right?
But I very clearly remember
meeting you, like when you first opened, I think, the store in Sag Harbor. And, you know, I want to first go back to the beginning for a minute, because I think it's very important to talk about like who you started as in life, like who you were, what kind of kid you were. And I think as a mother, as you raise your girls, I'm sure you sort of look at them like, who are you going to be? Like, yeah. What are you doing? Like where, you know, like, and everything you say and do, you probably feel like, oh my God, what's this doing to her? Is this going to help her? Is this gonna,
right. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, so you grew up in New York City.
Grew up in New York City. Yes.
So you are like a born and bred New York City girl,
yes,
and
forever.
Daughter of a fashion.
Yeah.
Mom.
So my mom was the creative director at 17 Magazine for like over 20 years. She started there actually in 1968, which is crazy. So, and then, yeah. And then, so she was there and during its like heyday of full on, you know, she was finding all of the up and coming actresses, the model, like really, really just hands on in all of that. So I grew up in the fashion closet, the beauty closet, and then so many of her first assistants then grew on to be fashion director and then fashion director at Vogue, you know, beauty director at Bazaar or wherever it was. So those were my role models all growing up. And like, and I'm an only child. So they were basically like my sisters, you know?
That's wild. Wait a minute. So I don't know if you know this, but my one and only job was at YM Magazine.
Oh, no way.
Which at the time was the compete to 17, right?
Exactly.
17 was better, way better, 17, to be honest.
17 was great. I mean, it was like during the whole, so yeah, it was really like very revolutionary and very much putting girls, like, you know, in their teens, on the cover. So I remember Alicia Silverstone when she was first on the cover. It was like Katherine Heigl. And then it was also the couples. It was, you know, so it was really the sisters, Chrissy and Nikki Taylor. Like it was, and then I had every magazine. I mean, even the Vogue's my favorite, like all over my wallpaper growing up. I was just magazine obsessed.
But see, it's interesting because I did that also. And I think, and I didn't grow up in that in the traditional sense. Like my mom was definitely a fashion person, but never employed in that way. Like if she ever knew what a stylist was, that would have been her job for sure. Right. But it's interesting because what I do find having daughters and what I find so fascinating about you and your daughters, and also as we talk about it, you with your mom, as you know, that can go one way or another,
right?
Like, as the child of fashion, you can, very often it happens where they hate it.
Right.
They like push it away. They don't like it. They don't want any part of it. They whatever. Or you live and die for it, which clearly happened to you, is clearly happening to your girls.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love, I mean, I think it was like the photo shoots, the event, you know, everything.
The glamour of it.
The glamour of it. It was just, it was all fun. And it was very much like the storytelling. And it was, I mean, I remember every night my mom worked so hard. She would come home even at like 8 o'clock. I would sit there. I would edit through, you know, that was when it was like the film printed out. Of course, we would circle our favorite photos. We would, I would help her. She always asked my opinion. And I always ask my daughter's opinion. So I think it's just something that's, you know, a very much a part of me since the beginning. And you want to get their, you want to get their point of view because they have a different perspective. And I'm so, you know, interested in what the younger girl's perspective is as well. So.
Yes. And it's so fascinating. And I say this to you all the time. I mean, Love Shack Fancy, I have so much to say about it, but I want to understand. So you grew up in New York City, you went to Spence?
No, I went to Nightingale and then I went to Riverdale.
Went to Nightingale.
So I went to All Girls and then I went to co-ed, yeah.
Okay. And then at what point did you go to college?
So I went to college as a freshman. I went to Skidmore College and then I transferred to NYU after a year because I was like ready to get back into the hustle and bustle. And I had always been, you know, I actually thought I wanted to study journalism. They didn't have a journalism department there. And then I ended up just doing English literature, dramatic literature, art history. But I was always working. Like I started interning in when I was, I think, 14. I worked at every magazine every summer during the years. Elle, I worked for Ann Slowey. I worked for Gloria Baum at Teen Vogue. I worked for everyone. Wendy Klerman at Vogue, who now works with me. And so all of these girls were so incredible who had worked with my mom as well. Some of them had worked with her. But, and then I just was, I mean, it was literally every internship I could possibly get my, and I was ready to go. So I think when I came back to New York, I was like, college, even just a real more traditional college experience for me for 1 year going to the bar, I was like, I had enough. And so I wanted to be in New York City where I could also work and learn and, you know, just get my hands dirty. Like I really started freelancing and interning as much as I possibly could during college.
It's the best because, you know, it's funny. I talk about college a lot. It's a common thread on this podcast because I would say more than half of the women that I've had on either didn't go to college. Some barely graduated high school.
Wow.
Some went all the way. And then, you know, but I do believe your education in no way defines you. Right. And I really stand by that. And I do think, you know, for me, I went to college, the whole thing, if my parents had given me a choice to work or go to college, I probably would have gone to work because I was the same. I was like ready. I wanted to work. So,
yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I do think you grow up in college. At least I did. Right. And I think, but I will say that I learned more in my first 6 months of working than I learned in 4 years at college.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important thing to talk about because I think that fires in you from day one, right?
Yeah.
And I think that at what point, so like after all that, you did a million internships, right? So you're clearly this like born fashion girl.
Yeah.
You have an incredible work ethic. And then what happened? Were you like, okay, so then you became an editor, right?
Yeah. So then, I mean, I did everything though. I also worked at like Sony recording studios. I did an internship in the creative services department where it was like Eve and the Rough Riders. And I worked from my shift was 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I would bring them like anything they wanted, like whatever Chinese food, whatever, you know, they were in the whole record. Like I loved that music aspect too. I was freelancing even for some more celebrity music stylists at the time. And then I worked at BBDO advertising. Like my mom definitely wasn't the one pushing me to work.
How did we not know each other well at this time? It's wild.
But you were like, you were insane. I mean, I was like watching you go. Literally, I was the assistant running in the heels everywhere around. And then, and so I worked everywhere. I got my first job working for Susie Olive Schwartz at Glamour doing the,
we did
the morning shows and the Glamour makeovers and all of that.
Oh my God.
And then,
you know, she was my camp counselor.
No way.
At Bryn Mawr. She was. That's how I know.
Oh
Susie.
My.
She was like my color war leader, literally.
Wait, I love
that's how
that.
I met her.
And actually, Susie Ellsworth told me, yeah, she said, you are always to wear high heels. You are always to pick up every little like piece of dirt or hair on the floor and never think that anything is like below you, even in your heel, you know? And that was, I remember it so well. I've literally never took my heels off ever since then.
Do you see how that impacted you though? Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's so funny.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So, that's and then amazing. I worked for her and then I got a job as an associate fashion editor at Cosmopolitan where I was like the assistant to the fashion director and then kept on, you know. And so I did all the shoots. I did the fashion stories, beauty. I did, I covered some markets and then I just realized, yeah. And then I loved it. I always wanted to be in magazines. It just was at first I didn't know, did I want to write? Did I want to, which side? And then that's where I ended up. And Cosmo at the time was just fun. You know, it wasn't too serious fashion. It was just fun.
Yeah. Well, it was fun. And also, like, I always talk about those days in fashion. It was so different because it was like boot camp. Any job you had at these magazines was like, make $5 and work 24/7. Right. And if you skirt it up, it was basically there was 100 girls waiting for your
job. Exactly. And you felt so lucky to be there. And it was like such a bond with everyone. It was like this very fun, like, club that you were a part of, you know?
Yep.
It
was the best.
It was amazing.
So then at what point is there this moment where you're like, I'm now crazy enough to start my own line?
So it all started when, you know, so I was working, traveling all the time, doing photo shoots. I was doing then I became a senior fashion and beauty editor. And then I did a lot of the cover shoots there. So right. I was like back and forth from LA or traveling to wherever it may be. And then I designed, I couldn't find bridesmaid dresses for my wedding. So I looked all over and I decided, I was like, okay, I'll just make my own. I found a seamstress in New York, a pattern maker. I found this, like the idea that I wanted these beautiful, ethereal, but sexy dresses. You know, I felt very much, because I was such a storyteller and I still am such a storyteller, the dresses, you know how it is. It's like the whole vision of it. Like it has to go with my dress, has to go with the tent, the flowers, and the dresses need to be perfect. And the girls need to look stunning and they need to feel amazing and they need to be, you know, have a vibe and like have this beautiful cascading like silk dress. So I just designed this one halter dress that you could twist and tie and the girls could wear it more umpire and, you know, or they could do it like lower and more like Halston-esque and cool.
Yeah.
And just depending on their body elastic. And then I had the wedding, everyone was like dying over these dresses. Then I wore I borrowed one of my bridesmaids' dresses to wear to a friend's wedding. 2 weeks later, was like, this is the best dress I've ever worn. Oh, and then I decided to make some. I was like, I need this dress like to wear to the beach over a bathing suit. I want to wear this dress just to like, you know, Surf Lodge in Montauk. And so I just started making these dresses and then everyone asked for them. So I decided to sell them. I did little trunk shows, pop-ups with Joey Wolfer at the Vineyard. I did little pop-ups all around Blue and Cream. And then they would just sell the dresses, you know, I had a limited edition and then they would be gone and sell that. So I did that for about, and I was literally like, had the dresses, would make them in the garment district with the sample room, put them in the back of my cart, roll them up into a little knot and then drop them off. And I was just like, that was this little side project that I was doing. And then sometimes if I couldn't find a shoot, you know, a dress for a cover, I'd make one. I was like, oh, Lady Gaga. I mean, we never really. Once we actually,
so you were still working.
I was still working.
So you were still working, and you got married.
And I was just like going.
Stunning wedding ever.
Oh, thank you.
Where'd you get married?
At my parents' house in Bridgehampton. So at my family's, you know, like surrounded by apple orchards and this like old farmhouse. We had a tent in the back, and still there, like it's where we do all of our photo shoots. The garden, the arbor is still there that we got married under, and so this is very much like a hub of everything that we do. And in this house, it was, you know, my mom always bought so much vintage. I grew up like as a full, you know, just piles of laces and vintage dresses, Edwardian, you know, Victorian, everything you could imagine all around. So that was kind of this like central place that where I spent all my summers. And that was like my happy place.
And how'd you get the name? How'd you get the name?
So originally my mom was actually trying to think, she was always hand dyeing dresses. So then we started hand dyeing dresses because we would say, oh, this is like, feels too perfect. It needs to feel more lived in. It needs to feel more washed out, like sun faded, bleached. So we started dyeing these dresses, these halter dresses. And my mom had this huge collection of vintage slip dresses, which she had previously wanted to create a website before websites were even really a thing. She wanted to do a little prop styling, vintage, you know, sell her vintage dresses, hand dyed. And she was coming up with a name. She had this sign that she used to help her friends when they moved into rentals and it was like ugly furniture. Yeah. And she would throw her vintage fabrics over it. And twice she put up a little sign that was called Love Shack. She, you know, she wasn't working at the time, but always, she's like us, like always working. So she had this little name Love Shack. She's like, it's kind of cute for this website. And then there was a photo shoot with Red Magazine and all British magazine. Everyone was like, oh, I fancy that. I fancy this, saying the word. Like, and she said, that's just so it. It's the Love Shack, but it has that. I love that word and name. And it's also this juxtaposition of something that feels, you know, perfectly imperfect. It's the, you know, chandelier. It's the gold chip with the little chip paint. It's just like the raw edges. It's the sun bleached. And so that name, then she never did anything with it. And then when I was trying to think of a name, this like Love Shack fancy sign had been around and I just came back to it and I was like, that's just it. This is so Love Shack fancy. So that's how we came up with the name, hand dyeing the dresses, you know, doing all this. And then I decided, so So I was still working at Cosmopolitan. And then that's when I decided to, I was actually on a trip to, I was in Saint-Tropez. I was introduced to Lisa Marie Fernandez on the beach and we were hanging out talking and she's like, you know, and I was like, I feel a little like magazines are just changing. Fashion's changing. Mm-hmm. I'm not challenged anymore. I have this little line that I'm doing on the side, but I need to start to put more energy into it if I want to make it anything and sell to start. She's like, just go for it. I'm like you. I was in magazines. I'm a stylist. I started my line. It's just, you just have to go for it and just try it. So then after,
which is scary, which is very scary.
I mean, it was the scariest thing. I was so emotional about it. I remember going back to the office. I went to Kate White, my editor in chief. And I mean, I was like crying. Yeah, I was emotional. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I have no idea why I'm doing this, but I just feel in my heart that I want to give it a try. And at that time I was already starting to shoot. It was like bloggers were coming around and I was doing, you know, it was fashion was definitely shifting. So.
And you weren't pregnant yet, right?
I wasn't pregnant. So I then resigned from Cosmopolitan. She's like, you always have a place here. You can always come back. Just give it a try. So.
I want to talk about that though, for one second before we move on. I want to talk about that because that's something I really like to not skim over on the podcast is how important it is to not burn bridges in your career. But more importantly, if you're working in the right place and you're in a supportive place, I think a lot of mistakes that women make, myself included, is you don't leave. And you don't leave because you're worried. You're like, A, you're scared, of course, but you're also like, oh, they're going to be so upset. I'm going to be blacklisted. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. There is a difference in leaving and saying, hey, I'm going to try this new venture. I want to launch my own clothing line, like whatever. Then like in the magazine world, as many people don't understand, going directly to a competitor to like, because you got a higher title and whatever. It's never that you leave somewhere. It's how you leave somewhere.
Yeah, I agree.
And you never know that you will be working with people for a lifetime in different capacities. And if you leave in the right way, you will always have that door open and that support. But if you don't, it never stops hurting you.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
So good. So good move.
Yeah.
Great support and love. Okay. Great.
So, and then that's what I did. And then I thought, oh, I can freelance style for a little bit. I can consult and I'll start this line, see what works. And, you know, then learned how to, but I had no idea. I didn't even know what a sales showroom was. I didn't know what's the point. How do you get your clothes? I mean, into a store, how do you really produce all of this? Like, so I was starting from the beginning. And then I was pregnant with Charlotte, my daughter, my first daughter, who's now 10. So I basically was putting the line together. It was going to be like an eight or 10 piece capsule collection of like effortless pieces that never go out of style. I was like, I'm not getting into that world of fashion where you have to keep making patterns and how do people do that and get into that cycle. I mean, now here we are, like, you know, as always, we spoke about that before, but. And so that was the idea. It was just about, so I designed our ruffle mini skirt that year. I hired this amazing freelance designer to work with me. She taught me everything. She introduced me to a freelance production girl in New York City. We, you know, produced there. And then, so I designed the ruffle mini skirt and then.
Wait, are we talking about the ruffle mini skirt?
The ruffle mini skirt.
The one that every girl in middle school and every age is wearing.
The iconic ruffle. Yes. And it took me like months and months. I worked on this skirt, literally. It was like, had to be perfect. And I had a collection of hundreds. My outfit was like high heels, a mini skirt, and like a blazer. Uh-huh. I maybe wore like a vintage tee at the time. Like that was my style. Mm-hmm. Or a leather jacket. Like, wasn't so pink, because pink really started mostly in a huge way when I had daughters. But I was always in skirts and I just had the hugest collection of mini skirts. And so that's really where, that was when this style was created, which is still like our best-selling and like cult.
So your mini skirt is like my caftan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Always like the go-to and what I'm, yes.
And someone asked me this morning, like, what do you wear every day there? I'm like, a caftan.
Yeah.
I just wear a different caftan every freaking day. Exactly. That's just what I wear.
A whole caftan.
But I think
I should ask you for some of them. We need some caftans, actually. We really do. Yeah.
Let's talk about it. We're going to collaborate. Yeah. But I think, you know, it's interesting. And I think you know, your brand, and I said this to you, I think last summer at your dinner, coming, you know, for me, having been in the industry for a really long time, I mean, you're not that far behind. You have quite a history. And I think, you know, I've learned all sides, right? I mean, there's still more sides, I'm sure, that I don't know. But I think that one thing that I think nobody knows unless you've done it is that having a clothing line is by far and away one of the hardest jobs in the industry. And it's for a myriad of reasons. It's for a myriad of reasons. But that said, having done it, having hundreds of friends successful and not so successful in it, luxury and all price points, I know how hard it is. I've done it. And to watch you just like at the top of your game after 10 years and sort of stay true to the brand is to me the hardest part of all of it, because in the world of clothing and manufacturing and doing the thing,
yeah,
you know, especially when you're in retail, it's incredibly difficult to please everyone.
Yeah.
Right. And I find that the most commendable thing to me from the outside and also a bit on the inside is that you've never veered from what the brand is, right? Like maybe a little bit here and there, more pink, more right, this, more whatever. But ultimately you are this brand, right? You are. And I can say that from experience. Every dinner,
right,
every tablecloth, every flower, every place card, every napkin at a seat says the brand.
Yeah.
And the reason that that is so impressive is because I remember when I first became friends with Marc Jacobs, and it was 100 years ago. And I remember that we talked about a brand and what it means. And I did an interview at the time with like a big publication, and they said, what is brand success? And I said, brand success is when a stranger who doesn't know you can look at something, whether right, it's a lamp, a bag, whatever, and say, that's Marc Jacobs,
right,
or that's whoever.
Yeah,
and you are at a point right now where, and have been, where I'll look at something and go, that's Love Shack.
Right.
Like, that's Love Shack.
Yeah.
That's her brand.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because to me, that's the gold medal of this business. And, you know, there's not that many that have wanted that. And so I think it's hard work. I think it's authenticity first and foremost, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you just, you are what you talk about. You Thank are you. What you design. And I'm watching all these girls and all these women from ages like 6 to like 60
yeah,
wearing Love Shack.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the dream, right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
The generation, yeah. The generational thing is really amazing. And it definitely, I mean, it started off as like just these timeless pieces at, you know, and I started, I launched, I guess I was what, 31. So at that stage of my life, and that's when I started to make then the girls' clothes when I had a daughter. So that's when I started to do the tablecloths, because it's like, oh, I want this dress as a print. And I would cut up the fabric and then put it on the table. And then through social media, everyone would say, you know, that's really how I also got so much of the feedback, because it was very much like, you know, showing my world and what I was doing in the most organic, like authentic way. And then saying, oh, well, I want to buy that. I was like, oh, you want to buy this? Oh, great. Then we should make it. You want to have the napkins? You want to also buy this little flutter sleeve dress? You want to do... And so that's really how everything has evolved, I think. And then generationally, all these moms were buying the dresses, and then their daughters were taking, or the skirts, and then their daughters would take the skirts, and then the daughter, then it became this cult thing, which I didn't even realize until I opened that store. I think also the difference between having this, a wholesale business, the first 5 years was just wholesale. So it was selling in department stores and other, you know, boutiques, and not really having that connection. And then also being so controlled by the retailers and doing what they thought was, and they, but you know, they were never buying anything that I loved, and they were never telling a story of the brand, and it would be so frustrating. So
that is the thing. Yeah. And that's the part that I got really stuck on.
I mean, it's like crazy. You know. It's just like so it's,
we only want purple. We only want stripes. We only want this. Right. And I'm just like,
yeah. And then you're like at the mercy for them, but then it's hard because you know what works for your brand and your customers, yeah, and they're trying to think what works for theirs. And so that's why I really think, you know, the most important and pivotal moment for sure was when we opened our first store in Sag Harbor, because it really was, I had no idea about anything in retail. I had no idea what was going to work, but it was just my dream to have one little shop where I could just show everything. And yeah, it was like,
tell your story.
Yeah. And tell the story. And, you know, in that one little store, I said, oh, well, my story is so vintage inspired. So I'm going to have some of the original vintage that inspires the collection. And then I sourced all the furniture. And then I bought different independent designers from all over, you know, and had them use some of our fabrics and make handmade dolls with them, or, you know, embroidered pillows from Senegal or wherever it may be. And so it was really like this little curation of everything with, yeah, Love Shack Fancy as the collection. And that was really the pivotal moment when, and then when we opened those doors and I saw all these like teenagers and 10-year-olds and grandmothers. And I was like, yeah, how do you even, yeah, know about Love Shack Fancy? And so,
yeah,
that was really when I started to understand who the customer was. And I had two, you know, my girls were probably 1.5 and 3 or something at the time, or mm-hmm, like a little bit older. So that was really like connecting to that customer and understanding what she wanted and then reinforcing what I wanted and what was working.
Were you scared?
Oh my God, it was the scariest thing. I mean, I worked on that. I had
just opening a store is,
yeah,
terrifying.
I was so scared, but I had no idea what I was getting myself into at all. And it was very much like a family thing. My mom was helping, my best friend Dean, who's also a photographer, was like changing over the bricks in the second room. It's like the little, you know, captain's house on in Sag Harbor, the old house. And John, who was our landlord, he's 90 years old. He sat on his porch. He's like, Rebecca, you could do whatever you want. Just make Sag Harbor beautiful again. And he was so sweet. And I had no idea. I was so scared that no one was going to come. And then when we opened.
Of course. Isn't that the thought?
Yeah, of course.
Who's coming?
Everyone's going to judge and no one's going to like it. And no one's, you know. And then we opened the doors and it was like.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Cora use Vanta to build trust and prove security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com. This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep expert. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep expert. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
If it was like a, like they ransacked the, I mean, I was in the stock room trying to read and I had no idea the sizes were wrong. The, you know, I didn't understand how any of it worked. And honestly, I had like a huge panic attack after, like, cause I realized that, that like, this was this, there's something.
Like, it was real. Yeah, this and real. Like my, and my brand is and out there no in real life for people to touch.
And I had no idea what I was doing. Like I hadn't built, I didn't have the proper team in order to move forward at the time. So, you know,
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
How many people did you have at that point working
not
for
that,
you roughly?
I mean, I probably had like 10 people maybe.
Right.
But no one who really knew
right
how to run a store. I didn't even know what like operations was. I knew I needed like a store manager, like all these things. I really was very much learning in the thick of it and then realized, okay, this is who I need to hire. You know, then I realized, okay, now this slowly, and I'm still learning. I mean, we're still putting together the proper team of like, you know, hopefully the best of the best and understanding that you really need to let go and have incredibly talented people as part of your team to run those, you know, to be the experts and go with it. So that was a huge, scary, it was like the scariest, that summer was intense. Like I, you know.
And you had young kids.
I remember
going into the store. I remember the first time, and they, by the way, they were so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, I remember walking in and being like, I just like walked into a dream.
Yeah.
Like, it was like,
yeah.
You know, it's funny because I was talking to someone about this the other day. I'm like, people think of me as being very girly, but I'm not so girly at different ways. And what's funny about Love Shack is that, like, it's almost like I'm in love with it now. Like, right. It's Thank almost you. Like I now, but like, what I mean is that I get it. I get it.
Right.
And I love it. And I appreciate it. And whenever you send me like pictures of like, pick something if you want to wear something,
right.
blah, blah, blah. It's like, I immediately am like, zoom, this one. Right. And then I put it on and I feel just like myself in this very kind of feminine, but vintagey way, almost like I'm in a movie a little bit.
Right.
Like, it gives me a little bit of like a movie set vibe.
Yeah.
Like an old story, you know, but modern.
Yeah.
But I think, so I want to talk about that. So how many stores do you have now?
So now we have 17 stores. Yeah. So, which is amazing. Great. We opened
my heart just dropped to my feet.
It's like nuts. And I mean, but, and that was never the plan.
That's incredible.
We were never like, oh, we're going to open 17 stores. I was just so happy with the one. And then that cute little one, I was like, then we live in the West Village. So there was a little sweet shop that used to be the old Club Monaco that was available. So we took that Bleecker Street shop. You know, that was when I was like doing the windows, and I wanted each one to be able, each store at the time, I needed to be able to like walk or drive like super close so I could be there. And I spent so much time in those two stores. And then we opened Palm Beach. And then that's when, and then COVID happened. And so since 2020, we've opened 14 stores, which is crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was
so how did you survive COVID? And I also want to talk about Todd when, because we've talked about this too, but
yeah.
I think it's a very important part of the conversation to talk about for better or for worse.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But so like, okay. So I'm also obsessed with the one in London. I just want to say that because
I
feel like that's sort of the dream.
Yeah.
But okay. So you and Todd have been married how many years?
We've been married 13 years, and we've been together 20 years since I was 21, and now I'm 41.
Oh my God, so you're like me and Raj,
yeah.
right? Okay. So he was not working with you.
Right.
And
no, he was not.
When
real estate. He's a real estate guy. He's a real estate developer, hence all these stores, you know, so that's
right.
how.
Which is beautiful.
That was like, okay, you know, he helped me open the first one by obviously like negotiating the deal and making sure I was not going to be in a position where we were going to spend too much rent and do, you know, get ourselves in a bad situation.
Smart.
And so it's always been very strategic in terms of finding the right size for what we can do for our sales and, you know, what all the finances that go into it. And then what happened was 2020, we had the lease sign actually here in our Melrose store, which we had found. I love Melrose Place. And those two leases were already those were happening no matter what.
Right.
And those we opened that summer of 2019 was here.
Oh
like it was
God.
Like during the riots, like we still had, I hadn't seen those stores until like 6-7 months after they opened. Cause I couldn't be here. Then the other stores became available because they dropped the rent so much. So like amazing stores. Like we opened in Austin, we opened in Dallas and Highland Park Village, Charleston, all these other incredible retail opportunities just started to, you know, Todd really took all like he's a real estate guy. He's a risk taker. So he saw, you know, he was help really handling all these negotiations, landlords, finding the best deals and really focusing in on what were the key opportunities to open Love Shack stores.
Which is also such a gift, by the way, because it's like, that's one of the huge hurdles of opening stores is like not knowing how to navigate that process, getting stuck in endless rents and overpaying and getting spaces that are too big for like a bigger footprint than you actually want that makes sense. So like, that's actually a huge, huge, huge plus.
Yeah,
and
huge.
So you really, really thrived in COVID, weirdly. Like, because most businesses did not, yeah, unless they were like pajamas and right, sweats.
Well, that was the bit. Well, so we pivoted to like making many more pajamas, sweats. Like,
right,
we had all right, these fancy dresses that obviously weren't selling that we right, had started. And right, then wholesalers, they canceled their orders just like they did for everyone. And they were like, you know, no one was making new seasons. And it was almost, you know, we were starting to work on our summer collection. And that's when so many brands said, okay, we're actually just going to sell the past season and not go forward. Right. And actually right, we continued to produce and to design. And we did everything like out of my house in Sagaponack. Then we got another house for the design team. We just like, we had to just keep going. We sold online. We sold in our stores virtually live. And then also our Southern stores, we had started to open Southern stores. So we opened Dallas, we opened Austin, Charleston, Nashville, all these stores, and then just really shifted what we were designing and creating based on what, you know, started doing many more like house dresses that you could wear, like yeah, these like easy cotton.
Yeah.
And so the design elements shifted. We shifted much more to this like direct to consumer because our website yeah, was doing really well. We're opening the stores and wholesale. You know, we were before COVID, we were 70% wholesale to 30% direct to consumer. And now we're 30% wholesale, 70% direct to consumer.
Stop
yeah,
it.
So that like real, and that was like a huge
that's
shift.
Sick.
So
that's sick. That is so amazing. That's like the dream.
Yeah,
I mean, so, that, because that's also a lot of repeat buy.
Right.
That's a lot of yes, like, people are like, I love the brand. What's new? Blah, blah, blah. Right. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I think, so how, okay, first of all, what is your most successful area? Like what's your best store? Do you have
Palm
one?
Palm Beach is our best store.
Palm Beach.
Yeah. Palm Beach. Everyone goes through Palm Beach. Like everyone goes through Palm Beach, and which is amazing because girls really go and travel to each different destination. And so whenever I'm talking to anyone, they're always like, oh, I just love went to go store, visit your Palm Beach store. Or I went, Madison Avenue is actually amazing. Because we have such just like a loyal customer base there, and it's on the Upper East. I mean, it's on 80th and Madison, but it's just yep, incredible. And then we have Dallas, Highland Park Village, and so yeah. But Palm Beach.
Do you just die? Like so? Okay, so this is what I want to know. So as you're expanding, and I'm watching you expand, and I'm watching you grow, and like your perfect formula, and I know it's ever changing. There's no perfect formula and you follow, but one thing I do know is you follow your gut and your instinct. And, you know, I think as creative people, that's just how we're wired, right? So a few things. One is how do you like working with your husband? and I ask that because obviously yeah, I have forever, not forever, but for a decade. And there's times I really do want to kill him. And there's times where I'm grateful for it, but I have a lot of friends like, you know, Monique Lhuillier has worked with her husband from day one. Like right, there's a lot of people yeah, where it really does work. So I want to know sort of, you know, the pros and cons, or is it just all one way or another?
Well, it was a very recent thing because it was during right, COVID when we were all together, just happened. Mm-hmm. I never in my life would ever have imagined this ever. So, you know, in terms of opening the store like that, we were very much like Todd was just handling the real estate and the stores but then obviously then now having had opened 17 stores and the business has grown so much and just trying to navigate all of that. You also, I think, realize like when you get to a certain point, like Todd knows me better than anyone and he knows what's going to be the best. I mean, I always say he's like my best executive assistant I could ever have. Like he was literally yes, here setting me up and doing all this stuff. So, so he knows me, you know, he knows that's all so of that. Cute. So I think, well, when we first moved but then when we were during lockdown, it was like, I'm not on calls with him. I won't do calls with him. I won't do Zooms. But when we were designing the stores together, he would make sure we had everything set up. Then we would take our calls with our designers at the store, you know, choose all yeah, the finishes, choose all of that yeah, stuff. And then now I would say there's a little bit more crossover, but because I just, I'm so the creative and oversee all of that. And he really yeah, helps to oversee much more like operation, business, like new businesses, opportunity, things like that. And then we haven't opened a store in the last like 6 months, thank gosh. But he's definitely the one. He's like going, pushing, like moving ahead. So we just, now I see him in the office all the time because we moved into a beautiful new showroom, which you have to come see last September, but he was literally working in my office. And I was like, okay, now this is like too much. You need to get your own office down the hall so that I'm not like, I know you want to see, he's like, don't you want to see me every second? The answer is no.
No, but like, I love you, but no.
Yeah. So it's very much, you know, we need to, it's figuring out the balance with the girls when we're traveling, you know, they don't really like us to, they're very much in it and they know everything going on, but they don't want, if we're having a business conversation, they can see, they're like, stop fighting. We're not fighting. We're just having,
it's hard.
Yeah. So I think we're still,
that to me, that's always been the biggest challenge that we're still, is when to not talk about it.
When to not talk about it, because you're kind of always like, it's just like done. Like you need to, so we're figuring that part out. And being much better, I think, just in terms of like leaving those conversations to when the girls go to bed or just when we're not with them. And because it's like, you know, often it's like, not that we're arguing, it's just having a conversation.
It's a conversation and it's hard because your brain's always going. There's so much happening. Your brand is growing and it's like, you want to talk about it. And it's kind of awesome that it's your husband.
Right. Exactly.
Because imagine if you were like calling someone else to talk about it.
Yeah. So at the end of that, I'm starting to realize that it's actually like, he knows me better than anyone. And I know that I like what you said, like you can trust each other so much. And so I think having that, and when your business grows, all these things, it's really hard to find people that you trust, you know, through and through. And so, and that's the most important thing, to be able to really rely on an amazing team and to help, you know, make the right decisions for you and, you know what you're capable of doing and not, and pushing you in the right way. So all of that.
So what just sort of keeps you up at night?
Oh my God.
All of it.
I'm like, all of it, everything.
I know. I know.
So, I mean, it's still like whenever I have like a big shoot or I have something like that the next day, I feel like my brain is constantly going, because then I'm like looking at my book, looking for inspiration here. Oh my God, I need to make sure I get that shot. Cause that's really where my heart and soul is, like in the storytelling, in these, you know, in all of the content that we're, you know, but I'm constantly thinking about all of that. So I think that for sure, that's what,
the image.
Yeah. It's like the image that keeps me up. And then, you know, now we've started to do more, you know, we've started to get on the fashion calendar. So this is going to be our third fashion week. So during that that's like the most, I mean, that, forget it. Like
it's terrifying. Yeah,
like that, just going, because there's always a million things to think about and a million things that you're going to forget. And nobody knows everything that you need to keep in mind except for you, really. So it's just like crossing off all those different boxes and making sure that like you're the one, as like the creative head, to make sure that it all gets done.
Now, tell me about your most recent collab that launched yesterday.
Officially launches tomorrow, which is amazing.
Oh my God, when August 4th.
August 4th. It's
4th.
Amazing.
Love, I went Shaq into Times Gap.
Yes,
tell me.
It's so good. And we shot Ciara for it, and her son and daughter.
She's the best.
She's literally the best person. Like, she's so beautiful. She's so like talented, smart, sexy, like everything about her, and just like her kids. So she was just the perfect face of the campaign, and I'm so happy that it all came to be. And also, she's like a tomboy, cool. Yeah. She's not so girly, which I love. And so this collection is very much like, I mean, if it was up to me, it would have had 100 more ruffles and like all that. And I'm so, it's cool. Like, it's very cool. It's for everyone. It's for the whole family. It's for, you know, we have pieces for men, we have pieces for baby, we have accessories, we have, and also,
so exciting.
And also just not like, I was at the Gap at the Grove yesterday, which is amazing. Yesterday, I was showing the team there, and it's just, it really is just like easy. So taking like their icons and our icons, bringing them together. That ruffle mini skirt, we made one in like a floral with a little eyelet for them, and
amazing,
really cute denim, like bustiers and dresses, the denim jackets I love. And, you know, it's just, it's fun. It has, you can, if you're girly and you're feminine and you want to get that, there's plenty to get. And then if you also like also want something Love Shack fancy and you're not so fat and overly girly, you still have a million options. So it's cool to be, you know, I grew up with the Gap. So it's like, it's fun.
It's the best.
And
it's
I remember, yeah, it's iconic. It's totally iconic. Yeah. When my Scarlett, my 10-year-old before, she was like, really, Mom? Gap? And now she's like, Gap is just so iconic. I'm like, it's so iconic. Like, I, so, you know, it's just all that same, like storytelling, getting like cool face, cool ambassadors and thinking outside the box. And I think it's a really fun, you know, we have like, it's fun to just keep on evolving when things get so, you know, that you get into routine.
Pink.
And so, yeah, pink and exactly like, thank gosh, it's not.
And then came Barbie.
And then came Barbie. And then, but you know, even like, and in terms of our main line, like that's getting much more, we have a huge range that I need to show you everything. Cause we have like
so
an incredible new design team and it's very evolved and it's like really now going to be for all ages and the fabrications and the fits are like beautiful tailored pieces all seasons, like it's really great. So that launches like mid-August, which is going to be incredible. So it's
so
really
excited.
Just keeping in mind like all the ages of girls and women and all these, because you know, we realized having all these stores, there's so many women that come in that are older and that are all ages, and we didn't really have enough to be able to offer everyone. So that's
right.
You know, same, like we had to, in terms of like
they may want a sleeve, they may
want something so ruffly, they
sure.
want something easy,
right.
So that's really where we're, you know, merchandising, like who it's so important. So like these are all things that we've just, you know, we understand now as a business, and we're being, you know, we're really moving forward in that direction to be able to have it for everyone, because it started off as, you know, what I wanted. And now it's really what, like, you know, what all of our customers and all of our audience wants.
Well,
which
so
is
it's
why
clear
we do the cap dance too, every time. I'm like,
yes, 100%. I mean, it's clear to me that you're living your dream. You've worked incredibly hard for it. Do you ever dream beyond this moment, or do you just live in every single moment and just go, okay, this is what it is now. This is what I'm thinking for this year. Like, da, da, da. Or do you go, okay, in like 5 years from now, I hope to be doing X. Do you have that dream, or do you just kind of like take each day?
I mean, I definitely take each day, but I'm always thinking of everything. Where we have like an amazing new category that's launching in September, which we've been working on. So that's so exciting. And I am always, I love to travel. Like, I mean, sitting, I'm here at the Beverly Hills.
You really do.
Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my dream. Like, I want to have like a whole hotel, like, you know, it's like all pink and Dior now around.
Yes.
So I much think in terms of like lifestyle, hospitality. I mean, I'm like hotels, restaurant, like that's the whole, I'm always thinking about that kind of thing. So much more in terms of many different ideas as opposed to just the clothing and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think of Love Shack as a lifestyle brand.
Right.
1000%. And I think, and like I said, it's because the brand is recognizable to a point where you walk into a hotel suite at whatever hotel and it's a Love Shack fancy suite.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you would know that.
Right.
And that's the dream, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, just outside looking in. And, you know, I'm obviously a fan. I adore you.
Oh,
I'm so
you.
Impressed with you.
You're amazing.
Your family's the sweetest. And
thank you.
You know, I mean, congrats 1000 times, but like, just, I feel like you haven't even weirdly scratched the surface of what you're going to do. But, you know, I'm excited to see all of it, and I'm here for it.
Thank you.
I'm cheering.
I can talk
I'm
to
cheering
you for 100
pink.
Hours. Oh, you're so cute. I know. Can we need to just do this like weekly.
Well, come home.
I know.
Come
I know.
Home. And
I'll come
and,
over.
And we will.
Yeah.
Come home and we will. And we have lots to do together and let's talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. So. Amazing.
I love you madly.
Thank you so
congrats,
much.
Sunny.
Me too.
Seriously.
You're the best. Thank you, Rachel.
It's that time in the show when I answer 2 listener questions. So let's see what we have today. Do you consider yourself a content creator? And if so, what is your favorite part about making content? Interesting. Great question, actually. I don't know that I consider myself a content creator. The same way I really never considered myself a quote-unquote influencer. And I think that's maybe just because I am who I am. And I think I've just always been doing different iterations of brand expression. And I think now there's maybe a title for it, which is making content, but I don't think I would really put a label on myself as a content creator. Not that that's a bad thing. I think it's genius, but I think at that point, it's probably considered like your full-time job is creating content. And I would say that that is a part of my job and definitely not my full-time job, if that makes sense. But certainly my favorite part about making content of any kind, I think, is having that ability to communicate my brand to more people and to also really connect with more people every time, you know, I put something out into the universe publicly. And also, I think just trying to constantly be new and have new ideas and, you know, new messaging about important things. So yeah, that would be my favorite. Constant connection. Okay, the next question, very unrelated. Do you dress your boys or do they dress themselves? I would say Caius, 100% of the time I dress him. Although lately he's become obsessed with wearing suits because he thinks it's very gentlemanly. He likes dressing up, which I love. He's always been my little Prince Charming, and all of a sudden he's really taken a liking to wearing suits, which is funny and amazing. Skylar, I dress him most of the time, but I think now that he's starting seventh grade, he will be dressing himself for school. And I will probably have no say in it, but I kind of have a deal with Sky that, like, when it matters, like if we're doing something nice, he'll let me choose it. And then when he's just hanging out with his friends, he chooses it. So yeah, I don't want to hold him back from expressing himself the way he wants to, but I will say out of pure laziness, very often Sky will just be like, you pick it and tell me what to wear, I don't care. So there you go. Don't forget to submit your questions for next week's episode. All you have to do is DM us your questions to @climbinginheelspod on Instagram, and I might just answer them. I want to thank Rebecca so much for coming on the podcast. She has truly built a real fashion empire. And, you know, I'm someone that has watched it from the outside. I've seen it from the inside. And I have to tell you that, you know, I said it in the episode, it is the hardest thing, really, in the fashion industry. It is the hardest thing to create a brand and have it last and have it be successful, all while keeping the DNA of the brand, the true essence of the brand and the vision of the brand, the aesthetic of the brand, to really keep that true to who you are as the founder and the creative director. It's really hard, and to not get lost in the pull of what different retailers want and wholesale, and it's really a grind, and it's really hard, and it takes thick skin and it takes perseverance. And I can tell you that while Rebecca has grown up in fashion, she wasn't handed things. She built this really ground up and is still doing it and is really hands-on. And I have to say, she's just so impressive, and she's a sweetheart, and she loves her brand. She is her brand. And, you know, I really hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you want more Climbing in Heels content, follow me on @RachelZoe and @ClimbingInHeelsPod on Instagram for more updates on upcoming guests, episodes, and all things Curator. I'll see you all next week. Mwah.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.